Hello, everybody. Welcome to this week's episode of A&K on the Runway. Welcome back after our extended break. I hope everybody had a enjoyable Thanksgiving. I know I spent mine eating entirely too much. But that's the point of the holiday, I think.
I agree. So we start off, open this episode to kind of give a reminder almost of what happened 2 weeks ago, because it feels like a long time ago now for some reason.
Yeah, it really does.
Majing is very excited about being in the top six. We've got six designers left, four guys and two ladies. So the rooms are pretty easy. It's Laurence and Aaron in a room and then the four guys otherwise. Cornelius feels really bad about Natalia being offed since they auditioned for the show together and they got on together. But he's very glad to see Dexter go.
Right. And on the other side of that, Aaron definitely misses her partner in crime in Dexter.
Yeah.
But she also seems ready to move on, ready to kind of carve out her own space.
I think this will be good for both Aaron and Cornelius so that Natalia and Dexter are gone, because they don't have someone to commiserate or get excited with them. Like, they have to be within themselves a little bit in the workroom, so they're not wasting so much time.
Right. Definitely a chance for them to focus on themselves. So the designers are all sitting in the runway room, and Heidi comes out to kind of explain the next challenge. And she lets them know that there are two challenges left, which kind of raises a lot of questions as to how the remainder of this season is going to go. As of this episode, we have six designers left. So basically, it's how are they going to get down to three from six in the two challenges?
I don't think it's three, though, because what always ends up happening is they say, I think the number is anywhere from three to four. It must be three, but in the past couple of seasons, it's been four.
Right. Like, I mean, I only know from last season, since that was the first season I watched, but the only reason there was four is because Tim Gunn saved Edmund at the very, very end to send him to Fashion Week.
It's typically, I'm trying to think of a season that I can recall, outside of the very early ones, the past two seasons at least have been four people. And I think that is getting to be the typical number, especially with them incorporating the Tim Gunn save into the season. They kind of work with that. So, although, to be fair, they could kick off two people next week.
Exactly. That's what I was just thinking is that I think this kind of puts a lot of the designers on notice, because they know that typically three people go to Fashion Week, and they just eliminated two people this past challenge. So there's nothing stopping them from doing it again. And so you can't just get by somebody being worse than you at this point. They could very well send two people home anytime they want.
Totally. And so Heidi tells the designers that they need to buckle up. They're going to have a thrill of a ride. It's go big or go home time. All these
cliches.
All these cliches. And that is, of course, because there's another special guest. And it is Brian Bolling from Lexus. So the designers are driven out to this crazy warehouse where there's a guard dog and all these special effects fires. And Brian talks about, Lexus being a great ride and all kinds of that. There's really no point in Lexus being there, except I think they furnish money for the show.
I mean, just like all the past
all
things
the other
that we've
things.
Seen.
Yeah. And so the challenge, as Tim explains it, is to create an avant-garde look, combining conventional materials and unconventional materials that the designers will have 5 minutes to collect in this warehouse. So there's metal and machinery all around that will be used to inspire their look.
Right. So this is kind of like the very first challenge of the season, where there's a bunch, they basically just laid a bunch of stuff out in this area, and you could, it's just kind of a,
right.
a grab bag. You Go can just grab whatever you need, and that's what you can use.
And the designers have $150 at Mood and 2 days to complete this look. And I'd like to take a second right now to kind of talk about what avant-garde is and kind of what it is defined as, because there is confusion about this pretty much every season, I would say, especially if you're a self-taught designer or you just sew for fun or you make your own clothes, you're probably not making avant-garde looks. And some people get confused whether avant-garde is costumes. So I guess the definition of avant-garde is experimental, radical, or unorthodox looks. And so when you think of that, it could be really anything. I think also people think of avant-garde as unwearable.
I would say that, yes, that would be something I would have in my mind.
Yeah, and I think it's just because sometimes it's just so past, you know, kind of just
it's,
normal.
It's purely for fashion.
Yes.
You would see an avant-garde piece, like, oh yeah, that's something I would see on a fashion runway, mm-hmm. but there's no chance anybody could ever wear that. So it's like a blend of fashion and art,
right?
In my mind.
Christian Soriano, who is the most famous alumnus of the show, was really, really good at avant-garde. And that's why he has his own fashion house and does collections and dresses celebrities, is because that's what type of designer he is. And so he just really excelled. And Victoria Beckham took like a very special interest in him as she was the final judge.
Posh Spice, by the way.
Right. For that season. And that just made his career like explode. So that's what we're working within, like right within that context.
So we kind of get a couple shots of designers grabbing different materials. Cornelius goes straight for this air duct tubing. That's just some, I mean, it just seems like a very obvious piece to grab. And so they show kind of the counterpoint of Cornelius and all the other designers running around grabbing whatever they can.
Right. Aaron's just grabbing
with
things.
Laurence, who unsurprisingly just is kind of perusing everything, she makes the point that she would rather take her time and grab 2, 3, 4, 5 things that she knows she can use mm-hmm. rather than grab just a bunch of stuff and then you get back to the workroom and none of it goes together, which I think it's a great strategy. Right. I think we definitely saw that in the first challenge when you had some people grab a lot of things that
right.
all of a sudden just don't work together.
And she says, you know, my strategy is I don't run and I take my time. And well, 5 minutes doesn't seem like a ton of time. This stuff was not spread out over a wide area. It
right.
was just kind of, there was just drawers and shelves of just different metals and parts and stuff. So, you know, you really could stand back and decide what you're going to
yeah,
do
so
without just shoveling it in.
Right.
Your
5 minutes is a ton of time.
Yeah,
in that
sort of scenario. Majing is grabbing copper and wires that are easily bendable. Aaron's just getting whatever. Rick also seems to be taking his time. You know, so we kind of see some different strategies there. And then they go straight to Mood.
Right. Robbery wanted, like, used to use these metal sheets, and he wanted it to look like the side of a car and kind of like the feeling of speed. I don't think the drug as much as, you know, going fast.
Sure.
So he was really taking
the... We don't know what the feeling of speed is like.
He was taking the Lexus tile in really seriously.
Yes, that's true.
And Rick was almost afraid that he didn't grab enough. He said that once everybody was done, everybody has all these... They use trash cans, essentially, to put all this stuff in, that people have these trash cans that are overflowing with things, and Rick doesn't have all that much in there. So
right.
he's a little self-conscious about what he has grabbed already. So we go to Mood, and this is definitely one of the more interesting trips that we've taken to Mood, because it's kind of just interesting to see what each designer is going to grab to go with
mm-hmm.
all this metal and silver and copper and all this stuff, what they're going to use to make an outfit.
I thought everyone seemingly fell back into their comfort zones a little bit.
For sure.
Aaron got Big Bird yellow colored leather. Majin got denim. Cornelius got neon colors. And Laurence got leather and neoprene.
Yeah. And Rick wanted to mix and match different fabrics. Right. So we do see a lot of comfort zone stuff, which I don't think is surprising given the challenge. Avant-garde is definitely not something these designers work with very often. So when you're forced to be pushed outside of your box, you're definitely going to cling on to things that are comfortable to you as much as possible.
Right. I would definitely say that the general aesthetic and tone of most of the designers for this season has been ready to wear separates. I think as we've said many times before, we haven't had a ton of dresses. We haven't had a ton of like evening wear looks. We've had a lot of just casual, ready to wear streetwear. So this is definitely something to push the envelope for a lot of them.
So as the designers start to put together their outfits, you start to see a couple things pop up. Majin, I think, is definitely going to struggle with this challenge. Yeah. I don't think he thinks very conceptually.
He does not, no.
I don't think he understands what avant-garde is.
Right.
And I don't think that his designs in general are all that advanced, which is definitely something you need in a challenge like this.
Right. He is telling Aaron and Laurence that he's going for fairy, galaxy queen, mermaid. And that, to me, that's all over the place. And I'm really, really concerned, even before people have put something on a dress form, that Majin is going to make the same dress that he always does, just with some copper coral, which is what his inspiration is just making kind of a coral reef shape out of the copper wiring that he got. So just normal dress. He always does a sweetheart strapless. And he'll just stick those on. So that's my concern once he starts talking about his inspiration.
Right.
And Aaron is seemingly at first kind of all over the place. She's grabbed some, it kind of looks like chicken wire, I guess.
Yeah.
And then she thinks, I'm going to make a paper doll dress. So that's the route that she seems to be going. Rick is struggling a little bit.
Something I wanted to point out with Aaron is that when she's taking all of her materials out, she gets all the big stuff out, and then she kind of turns her trash can off over, and all this, like, a bunch of tiny little things spill out, like nuts, bolts, screws, washers, things like that. And right when I saw that spill out, I was like, she's going to do more embroidery because that's what Aaron does. Just using the little things like that, I knew that that was going to be her mindset was, I can make this industrial by still using these things, but I can still do my embroidery.
Right. And she starts making these appliques.
And she makes these little, these little flowers out of all of this stuff. So.
Right. So not a ton on day one. Day two, it seems like this is where people's looks really start to come together. We start quickly on day two with the Tim Gunn critiques. And Tim starts with Rick. And Rick is just really going for it with all these different little metal parts that he's gotten from the warehouse. And he's covering his dress in varying metal parts. Tim's advice for him is that he doesn't like the safety pins, so he was kind of doing different sections of the different metals, and he had a sunburst out of safety pins, and Tim said that cheapens it. So he needs to make it more refined and watch what he's doing.
I think what Rick was going for was the industrial aspect of like a punk design. So you see on like a lot of like punk leather jackets, safety pins on there. So I think that was kind of him trying to integrate a little bit of his aesthetic into this dress. And like you said, Tim said it just doesn't work. Tim also says that the back, there's no design to the back at all. Like, Rick has a lot of design and a lot of things going on in the front. And then when Tim turns the back of the dress around, there's just not anything on there. So Tim says they kind of, the two halves have to come together and really just to make a full look. Next, we move to Robbery. Robbery has formed the sheet metal to make these aerodynamic shapes. And Tim says this is definitely a very edgy look. He likes the way Robbery is heading with his design.
Mm-hmm.
Robbery also wants to make a removable face piece.
Yeah, that's really interesting. We've heard this before from Majin, though it didn't work out. So I'm hoping that he can execute it.
Yeah, I liked the idea. Mm-hmm. I wanted to see it.
Yeah, sure. And Tim was intrigued as well. He moves on to Majin. Tim advises Majin that he doesn't want this to be too costumey. And then we get a one-on-one interview, and Majin's like, well, isn't that what avant-garde is? I look around the room and everything looks like a costume. So he's a little confused at where he's trying to go. And then Tim is worried about the weight of these side add-ons. So he's trying to add some volume at the hips using the copper meshing and the copper wiring that he's kind of created into this coral, you know, ecosystem thing. And he's going to attach it on the dress. And Tim kind of holds that piece in his hand and he's like, wow, that is very heavy. So that could be something to worry about as he's trying to do the model fittings.
Right. And when Tim asks him, like, what, like, in the initial time, you know, what his design is, and Majin just has this, like we said earlier, just this very odd description of what he wants this to look like.
Right.
And he's just rambling for a lot of it. And it's just like, I don't know what you're describing here.
Yeah.
Or where you're going with it. So you can already see that if Majin doesn't really know what he's mm-hmm. trying to design, the judges for sure aren't going to be able to catch on to that.
Right. And I know I've talked about this before with some other designers. It's that pyramid of knowledge thing again, where Majin really wants to have these like grandiose ideas. And sometimes he does, but he cannot move through the spectrum to then connect the ideas in his head to the execution of a garment. And a lot of times these dresses that he's creating, they come out looking the exact same, you know, the same shape, same basic parameters. And so he just hasn't fully connected things yet. He has, you know, some really great sewing skills, but is he a designer?
Yeah. Tim moves on to Aaron next. And Aaron is going to make the shape of her dress is going to be a paper doll dress. But the top of it is going to be made out of what looks to be chicken wire. And she's going to combine that with these yellow pants. These pants that she wants to make are just huge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just a silk, but she's made them very ginormous.
But the focus of this is the dress. And Tim says that this is definitely a bit ambitious, and she may need to rein in those ambitions.
Mm-hmm. And then he's concerned that the model can actually wear it because there's nothing that's going to protect the model from the chicken wire. So it's going directly on her. And then like paper doll dresses, you know, paper doll dresses have those tabs that you just fold over the flat paper doll. And that's the whole point. So it doesn't actually connect to anything. It's just a tab
mm-hmm.
holding it down. So Tim wants her to be sure that this is not going to hurt the model. He moves on to talk with Laurence, and Laurence is creating like a stairway dress. And so it, just like stairs, you know, goes out a little bit at a time. And Tim wants to make sure that she's pushing herself far enough, that she's ramping it up and going outside her comfort zone, because she has her standard signature shoulder going on with this look as well. And Laurence did say in a one-on-one that, you know, she wants to stay within her comfort zone a little bit, which is not really what this challenge is about. So I'm a little concerned. Her dress is looking good. She's got a lot done, you know, per usual.
Right. Yeah.
Just concerning.
Like usual. Yeah. Like you said, we're seeing essentially what Laurence's look is going to look like.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree with Tim that, you know, it, while it looks very, very nice, it's just, you can tell it's her, and that it's a little too safe.
Yeah.
And he says she needs to ramp it all up. Cornelius is last, and his look for now, he says he's inspired by a butterfly, and to where from far away it's something very beautiful, but when you get close it's a little more dangerous.
I've never thought that about a butterfly.
I mean, there are poisonous, well, monarch butterflies are poisonous. So
yeah.
I guess, I mean, he didn't really, I see what he meant. He didn't explain it very well.
Yeah. Okay.
But for now, what his design is, well, it looks to just be a simple top and skirt combination in black.
Mm-hmm.
And he has just this pink, neon pink circle right in the torso area. And Tim says, what I'm seeing here is a circle that says, put baby bump here.
Yeah, so the way that he created this oval, if anyone knows of the March of Dimes logo, it looks exactly like that. It just looks like a swaddled baby. So sometimes, and I'm not speaking in generalizations here, I'm really not trying to, but there are some times on this show where male designers who are always designing for, I shouldn't say always, typically the challenge is designing for women. These are female models. Sometimes the male designers have a very difficult time in remembering portions of the female anatomy that perhaps shouldn't be highlighted or that have other functions.
Mm-hmm.
So yes. That's all I'll say about that.
And Cornelius also said that he wanted to make with that air duct tubing, to me, it almost seemed like he wanted to do like butterfly wings with them.
Yeah.
And Tim said that if it was going to be this simple in the front and then that wild in the back, similar to Rick's design, it's just going to be two separate things. It's going to be a little schizophrenic. So similar to Rick, he wants him to kind of focus and make one look rather than two looks on two different halves.
Right. So then, you know, we're kind of finishing up day two. Right after the critiques, Cornelius decides he's going to lose this butterfly idea, and he changes to a host that is being consumed by a parasite. And the tubing, the air duct tubing, is going to be the parasite that's coming in and out of the host's body. So also a little different there. To me, that screams costuming.
Yeah. He also said something like he's always been interested in parasites.
Yeah.
It's like, what? Who has that as an interest?
Right, that's very bizarre.
Kind of like Brick and his interest in bricks since his childhood.
So then we have the model fittings. The primary concerns coming out of it is the heaviness of Majing's strapless dress and the length of Laurence's stairway dress.
Yes. Aaron also is kind of dealing with the pointiness of cut chicken wire, which, yeah, that'll happen. Also, Aaron is wearing the inspiration for her dress. Did you notice that?
On the runway day.
Yeah. So Aaron is wearing this sheer top with just yellow patches.
Yellow flower applique.
All over the place.
Right.
And that's literally what she is making.
I wondered if she made that.
With yellow applique.
Oh, man. As we close out day two, I have a couple designers I'm concerned about. Those being Rick, Cornelius, Majing, and Aaron. Just because for all of them, it seems like they have some things they need to get done on the day of the runway show. And there's just, especially for Majing and Cornelius, there's just some concern with execution.
So just about everybody. You're concerned just about everybody.
Four out of the six.
The vast majority of the people.
Right.
So we head to the runway and Cornelius's look comes out first.
Oh, our guest judge, by the way, is Sherry Appleby, who is on Unreal.
There you go.
Yes.
A lifetime plant for you.
Yeah, we don't have to talk about it.
Okay. Cornelius is first. And this to me is just nothing really stands out for me. It's a simple black top. It looks backwards. He had used this kind of faux hood thing before on the back, and now he just kind of flipped it to where it's on the front.
Right. It's like a cowl neck sort of sort of look.
And then he just kind of puts random strips of neon coloring in the bottom of the dress. And then he uses that tubing just kind of, it does kind of look like a snake or worm or whatever going in and out of the model's body.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of thought when he was using the tubing that it's just kind of like the uneducated idea of what avant-garde is.
Yes.
Like if you had a just a general sense of what avant-garde is, it would look like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really all that inspired. And I didn't think the tubing had any purpose whatsoever either.
No. No. I did not like this at all. If you took away the tubing thing, I'm not sure what it's really called, but if you took that away, this is just a basic black long-sleeved knee-length dress with weird neon striping at the bottom. The placement of these tubes is awful. They're in the front. If you're looking at the model from the front, one is coming right out of her lower stomach, will go back in at her lung, and then comes out on her right shoulder. And then the back goes into the back, out of the lower back, to the butt, and then out of the other butt cheek.
Which, to backtrack a little bit, is somewhat of an improvement.
Oh my God.
Because earlier in the episode when Cornelius is first putting these on here, the tube that is coming out of this model's lower stomach was a little bit lower.
Right.
And Ross is watching Cornelius put this on. And he goes, are you trying to give her a ding-dong? And we both lost it at that point because that's, for the most part, what it looked like.
And she said it so, I mean, she's very chill and calm. She just said it very nonchalant, matter of fact. Like, is that what you're going for? Just checking.
Not as in, like, a, you sure you want to do that? But it's like, hey, is that what you're going for?
I mean, he, again, going back to, he literally had the tube at first coming right out of her vagina, which, problematic on multiple fronts here, but luckily, maybe, I don't know if you call it luck, he moved it. It still doesn't look that great, and this is definitely not avant-garde. This is not radical or experimental or unorthodox in a good way, because also with the point of avant-garde is that you can still wear this. It's like wearable art, and maybe not everyone's going to get it. So for him, for me, this is a bottom look. The next look is Ma Jing. Ma Jing has created, like he so often does, a sweetheart strapless dress made out of denim with an exposed zipper in the back. This week, he made a belt out of thick copper wire. And then he has these, I don't even know what you want to call it, his coral reef ecosystem that he created with the copper mesh and the copper wiring he has at the chest and then on the hips and then on the back on the hips. His model is extremely skinny, but you can tell she does not move her hands from her waist at all because it's so heavy, and she's making sure that thing doesn't fall down.
Yeah, you can definitely tell she's holding that up.
Yeah.
To the point to where you can't even see the piece of metal that he puts around her waist because she's covering it with her hands entire time.
This is not avant-garde either, and there's that weird fit issue that he has so many times with dresses.
Right, and we've seen this color combination before.
Oh, totally.
It's very cool. Like, yeah. I don't mind it, but I think he used the exact same thing in that. No, because he used red in there. I was going to say in the Elix house.
How many times has he bought this exact shade of denim? This exact, you know, version.
But yeah, I noticed that too, where the model's hands are around her waist the entire time. Even later on, as they're getting critiqued, the model does not move her at least one hand from her hip because she is she's literally holding this dress on.
And so because she's so skinny and doesn't have any cleavage at all, it's not so risque as it would have been because it's fairly low on the boobs. If this model had any semblance of a chest, oh man, it would have been pretty risque, I think.
Right. Rick's look is the next down the runway. And this is a very cool design. It definitely is very industrial. He used this kind of silver tiling that goes on the model's left shoulder and it goes over that shoulder and onto her back. And then he used kind of this metallic tweed coming from where that tiling ends to go down and diagonally
mm-hmm.
towards the model's right hip. And then he used black leather on either side of that material. And I thought it was a really cool look, how that silver tweed or, mm-hmm. you know, however you want to look at it, the tiling leads kind of tails down into that silver tweed. He also added some embellishments on the lower portion of the dress,
mm-hmm.
Kind of like spiked dog tags almost.
Yeah.
I thought this was a perfect unconventional materials dress. If that was the only parameter of this challenge, he probably wins.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't think there was anything all that avant-garde about this. And the dress itself is relatively simple.
Yeah, I think that's the tiling that your parents have in their kitchen.
I agree.
Yeah,
it is.
It looks really pretty in a dress. I wrote down, to me, this is definitely not avant-garde. It's wearable, and that's what he was going for. Again, not that avant-garde can't be wearable, but I think if he sent this down the runway for any other challenge, you know, if it was just the unconventional materials challenge, like you said, it would have worked fine, and it wouldn't have been, you know, crazier out of the box. So I think that is a little bit of a concern for me. But it looks really cool. It's really pretty. I just wasn't sure how it would be received by the judges as, you know, avant-garde.
Yeah.
Next we have Erin's look. And Erin's is definitely the most colorful. She has, I'll start from the bottom up. She's created these wide leg, almost hammer pants, you could say. They're just not gathered at the bottom. They're silk Big Bird yellow pants. And then she has created the paper doll dress, but it ends at probably about the upper thigh on the model. So she has the chicken wire protruding from the model's hip. So that part does not get folded over like the tab. And then she used yellow leather and she made kind of, what is that? Isosceles triangles? Two sides are equal, but one side is longer.
Isosceles.
Mm-hmm.
Shorter.
Okay. One side shorter. Sorry. And
or not that length.
Right. On each side. And then she has these metal studs and I didn't love that part. That part seemed a little weird to me. And it looked like the wire cutting on these, you know, on the, I'll just call them the side flaps, isn't exactly even. But then as we get to the top, she's created almost like, it's kind of like a bustier almost of metal flower appliques that she's put onto the chicken wire. So while the model is completely bare on top, you don't see really any extra skin
mm-hmm.
than you would. It's, you know, completely covered with these flowers. So it comes off as really pretty. It's very unique. In the back, she created kind of just that a yellow strap that's holding on the chicken wire. It doesn't look like it'd be the most comfortable thing, that's for sure.
No.
But, and the pants are really bright. I thought they were a little baggy, perhaps.
Yeah, I thought, I mean, they are huge, but they kind of worked for me. The top was definitely weird. I thought it was costumey. I thought it was kind of like a, you know, something you would see in like a play about the future or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the hips, the the thing around the hips on that dress could go.
It's the oddest thing about it, that's for sure.
I was just kind of like, eh, for me.
Yeah. I think the judges will really like how she used the materials, though.
Right. Laurence is next, and she comes out with this black staircase dress, like we said earlier, and mostly done in leather. It looks very, very well made, mm-hmm. Like usual. Laurence, her tailoring is impeccable. I think she should have gone bigger with the staircase.
Mm-hmm.
You can barely tell that that skirt has layers to it.
Right.
And she does her signature shoulder as usual, just kind of that boxed shoulder look. And I think it works even better here than it does anywhere else, just for the avant-garde-ness of it. I think she could have done more with the design in the front. What she used is kind of, it looked like what she did was she takes this chain link and she kind of cut up some chain and spray painted it black. So there's just a design element to the front, but it kind of blends in, especially like from the front, like from dead on, you can't really see it. When they showed the bottle turned to the side and the light hit it, it comes out a little bit better. But she did what she showed earlier in the show. They showed her weaving some blue, some leather that she spray painted blue. They showed them her weaving that into the bottom of her dress.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe to kind of add little pops of color, which looked very cool, maybe added that to the top, you know, just a little more blue, just so something pops out on there.
Yeah, the length was a little short.
Very short.
It reminded me of the dress that she just did for the previous challenge, but it was really beautiful. She just makes really beautiful clothes. It's very well made. She incorporated the unconventional materials so seamlessly into it. I just don't know if it's avant-garde enough. Like Curtis was saying, if she had pushed it so it didn't just seem like the skirt was just a little bit of volume, but it was true, like, staircases. You know how in last season, Kelly made a dress that was essentially a bridge, you know, and so she just had pushed it further. And that might have pushed her out of her comfort zone a little bit, but it's still really beautiful. The last look comes from Robbery. And this dress reminds me so much of the very first dress that he made in the very first challenge, which was also unconventional materials, and he made it out of those paper lanterns.
Right.
This is a one-shoulder, cocktail-length, futuristic sort of dress. He used is it metal siding? Is that what it is? Like, is it like car siding?
It's a sheet metal.
Sheet metal. Okay. So it's like aluminum sheet metal in different shades. He's got a silver. He's got a copper that he has molded to be this aerodynamic. And he has it going over the right shoulder, kind of coming out from there. He's got copper and gold over the right hip. And then his fabric is kind of this, what color would you say that is?
It's like a dark copper.
Okay.
Very dark copper.
Yeah, a dark copper wool. So the colors look really cool together. If this was all fabric, I don't think it would necessarily be avant-garde. And since he's already done it, just in a different material, I'm not really sure if it's necessarily like pushing that boundary and just so extraordinary, but it's very pretty. It kind of reminds me maybe of armor. And then he has it's not even a mask. It's like a thing that you wear to sleep.
Yeah, I think he toned back what he wanted to do with the face piece.
Yeah.
I think he wanted to use the metal and kind of in the same like sweeping, that curved sweeping shape to kind of cover her face.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, but to kind of piggyback on what you said, when they said that this was an unconventional materials avant-garde challenge, I was like, oh, that's great for Robbery because he's literally already done that.
Yeah.
Like his first piece was very avant-garde in unconventional materials. I thought this was a great design. It's a great idea. Very futuristic. I thought the execution was great. Something to me just was missing. And I can't put my finger on what it is. I didn't hate the base color, that dark copper, but I thought maybe something else would have worked maybe a little bit better.
Oh, purple would have been nice.
Maybe just some pop of color, something like that. When the model was walking, I thought that the metal pieces that he had on there were moving too much. So maybe it could have been better constructed. There was just, like, I loved this look, but there was something there that I couldn't put my finger on that I think could have turned this from really good to amazing.
Yeah, and I feel like we've seen this from Robbery before. I can think of three dresses in the shape and this sort of look that he's already created. So similar to Laurent's, I really wanted him to push the envelope a little bit more.
Sure.
So what are your guesses for top and bottom?
My top is Robbery, Laurence, and Rick.
Mm-hmm.
With Robbery winning. My bottom is Cornelius, Aaron, and Ma Jing. I think Ma Jing is going to go home.
Okay. My top, I have Aaron, Laurence, and Robbery. My bottom is Cornelius, Ma Jing, and Rick. And I will say I put Rick there just because I didn't think it was avant-garde enough.
Sure.
And I have Aaron winning and Cornelius out.
Right. Before we get into the judging, they kind of, you know, talk to the designers a little bit as the lead-in. I was surprised how well-received everything was.
Heidi said this is a great runway show.
Yeah. And
it
I didn't
truly
see,
was.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't see... It seemed to me that this was going to be a challenge where somebody was going home because somebody has to, in my mind.
Right.
And by what they were saying. I thought there were clear tops and bottoms, but by what the judges were saying, it was just like, okay, well, sorry, somebody's got to go.
They didn't have, there wasn't really, really terrible construction, or there wasn't a look that they seemed to just completely hate.
Yes. So, Robbery is the first look to get the judges' critique. Everybody seemed to like this. They thought the sweeping metal gave the dress a very good shape. Zach said it reminds him of a cubist artist. The only real thing that we get that's negative is from Nina, and she thought it was a little too costumey. A little too futuristic. She said, especially the top portion of this dress, the silver, she thought looked more RoboCop than avant-garde.
Yeah, and I can see that. I think she said, I think it was her that also said that the shape and form could have been a little bit more innovative, just wanted him to push the boundaries a little bit more. But it seemed like overall, everyone loved this look and how he used the materials, so he's in the top. They talk with Ma Jing next. He tells them that he had the coral reef inspiration. And I think it was Heidi that said this just didn't go avant-garde. There were fit issues. Nina said that this was just a denim dress with unconventional materials used as decoration on it. There was no incorporation there. So he's on the bottom.
The judges move on to Rick's look. And they thought the blend of the textures that he used worked perfectly. They did kind of comment that the design itself was not as exciting as your typical avant-garde, but that he used the unconventional materials the best. It was the most integrated within his design. And they really liked how he created shape with that tile. Later on, when they're getting into the really close critiques, they're really impressed with that part that, you know, they say it's really hard to put tile on a curved surface that's not moving. And then if you do it on a moving model, that's even more impressive.
Yeah. So he's on the top. They talk with Cornelius next. He says that he was inspired by the living organism consumed by the parasite. And Nina finds this just to be cliche patristic with the tubes. She hates the tube out of the uterus into the lung. And she really hammers him for the placement of this being out of the uterus. That's just, for her, it's kind of inexcusable, it seems like. Zach says it's not his strongest work. Sherry doesn't like the placement of the tubes. And they just said it's just not a well thought out piece.
But at the same time, it was, for me, it was kind of confusing how they felt about it. Because
I don't think they just hate, I don't think they completely hated
right,
it.
Right. They spent a lot of time saying, you know, this isn't great, this isn't great. Mm-hmm. But Nina is the first one to talk to him, and she's like, did you, you know, were you going for something that
scary?
And Cornelius is like, yeah, that's what I wanted. And she's like, well, you did that.
Yeah.
So I think they recognized what he was trying to do and commended him for that, which I feel like, especially in an avant-garde challenge, that's part of what you're trying to do.
Right. But they also said it was just simple as well.
Yeah.
Like, without the tubing.
Right. Exactly.
They were impressed with how he, you know, it wasn't like those tubes were just stuck on. Like, they were truly integrated in, it looked like it was going into the dress and the body, you know, so that was impressive. It just, as like a piece of fashion, wasn't that impressive.
Sure. They move on to Laurence, and they say that this is just the general consensus from Heidi first, is that this is a little bit too much of the same old, same mm-hmm. old. You get the shoulder, you're getting leather, you're getting black. From Laurence, and you know that's her dress.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't deny the fact that she does same old, really, really,
really
well.
Yeah.
And that was just kind of what the judges said.
Yeah. It's very chic.
Zach thought it was very, very chic. Nina said it's a beautiful, beautiful dress, mm-hmm. but you stayed safe.
Mm-hmm.
So
I think they said, they said if it was in a different color, like if this had been in red or white even, mm-hmm. I mean, the white would have looked good with the metal pieces.
Or use black, but used the silver.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
black on silver, you know, the silver on the black,
mm-hmm.
that would have really looked good.
Yeah, so they really encouraged her to be taking risks. They said that she stayed too much in the safe zone. And that critique really concerned me.
mm-hmm.
The judge's last critique was to Aaron. They all seemingly loved it. They said it was very bold. They could see the inspiration, you know, once she said it was a paper doll dress. Zach said that he wishes that she would have thought about the backside of it as much as the front, because as the model turned, you could see the back of the gluing on of mm-hmm. the leather and things like that, where it stuck out on those side tabs. But Nina thought it would photograph really well, and this was just a good look. So, you know, Aaron seemingly back on top.
Yeah. They also thought it was really nice to have some color on the runway, because
mm-hmm.
everybody else is using
pretty much just
dark
black.
Silvers,
yeah.
metallics, and Aaron comes through with a yellow dress.
Mm-hmm. Similar to week one again.
Yeah. So we kind of get into the close-up critiques, and there's not a whole lot that comes from this.
Not really.
However, is Laurence on the bottom is what I mostly gathered.
Yeah, because, okay, so there's six people. Had there been more, she's probably safe. It's just the way the scores work out
right.
with only six. And so she's in the bottom for having a top three and a bottom three, but how far
right.
is
I mean,
she?
It almost seemed like they were trying to talk themselves into sending her home.
I know. I was getting worried because they liked that Cornelius and Ma Jing had kind of done something different and went for color, and that they kind of really chided her for staying within her comfort zone and not really going avant-garde. Then again, I think they also acknowledged that many of the looks on the runway, probably outside of Aaron, really were not avant-garde.
See, but here's the thing. Aaron, somehow, in an avant-garde challenge, using chicken wire, manages to do the exact same thing she always does. Yellow, check. big weird pockets.
Yeah.
Check. Applique. Which, to give her some credit, when I first saw that on the runway, I didn't think it looked that great, but like up close, the top of that, the top of her quote unquote dress is really, really well made. And the design is really, really beautiful, actually.
Right.
So, but it's still this, that embroidery that she would have used if this was material. Oh, and see-through, check. Right. So she's doing all the same things that she has done all season.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Yeah.
Which I think is incredible in terms of this challenge.
But then again, so
that she was still able to do, like, she still was able to pull that off somehow. Just like,
I mean, so is Laurent, so is Robri, so is Rick. I mean, they're very similar.
Right.
So is Majing. Majing's doing the same freaking dress all the time.
Right. But I think with Rick, that's literally his design aesthetic.
Right.
Like, this, the industrial part of this just fit right into what he does. Robri did the same thing he always does, but in a good way, because this is supposed to be artistic, and Robri has always been artistic.
It's tough.
I'm not saying, like I said, Aaron, I thought this look, while being a bottom look, was more because of what everybody else did. I think this looked top. Pretty good. No, I said it was a bottom.
Oh, look. You thought, I gotcha.
Yeah,
I gotcha.
More because of what I thought, because of the three ahead of her.
I gotcha.
I mean, I think, and we do see this right away, that this is between Cornelius and Majing for going home.
For going home, in between Aaron and Rick for the win.
Right. But I think I thought that she made a great look, and the only reason she was in the bottom is because I didn't like it quite as much as the other three.
I gotcha.
So, like we said, they flat out say that this is coming down to Aaron or Rick for the win. And between Cornelius and Majing for who is going home.
Right.
So they announce that Aaron is the winner of this challenge. So you can really kind of see where the pecking order falls from there. Laurence is definitely a safe look. Rick and Robri are both safe as well. So it comes down to Cornelius and Majing.
And then Heidi announces that Cornelius is safe. And then Majing starts just...
I'll give him some credit. He didn't do his weird Majing cry right away.
Right, he just starts word vomiting all these things. And, like, he's very thankful and he's very humble about, you know, about going home.
And you could kind of see that the judges really liked him and that they wanted him to
stay, too. He has a good rapport. He just, like, he's a simple guy.
Yeah.
And then as he goes back, he's just still word vomiting. And, you know, saying his goodbyes and Tim saying goodbye to Tim.
I did for a second to think that, and I mean, this wasn't a very strong thought because I knew there was no logistical way they could do it.
Yeah.
That they weren't going to send him home, because when when they say, Cornelius, you're safe, and he leaves, there's this kind of long pause, and Majing's the first one to talk, and I mean, it goes on for a solid minute and a half, 2 minutes, that he's talking and saying, thank you very much, and the judges are like, we enjoyed having you here, blah, blah, blah. And I turned to Antoinette and said, they haven't said he's going home
yet.
They didn't
give him the chance.
But he is,
didn't give them the
right.
Chance.
But he is going home. He did get sent home.
Yes, he is out.
So we're back down to power ranking five people because we only have five designers.
And so next week, and this is crucial, next week is a huge challenge. It's who's going to Fashion Week. I have a very hard time believing that Cornelius could make an entire collection. And so that's what it comes down to here, is who can make a collection and show it and have seamless, I believe it's 13 looks go into a collection. You know, who can really do that? So what are your power rankings? Start with your five.
My five is Cornelius. He was on the bottom this week. I think this was obviously a miss for him. I do think he has made significant improvement over this season. And he appeared to be peaking at the right time last week with
mm-hmm.
what was easily his best look of the entire season. So, yeah, he's at 5 for me.
I also have Cornelius at 5. Like I said, I don't think he can make a full collection. I think it was probably good that Majing went home this week. He's also, I cannot imagine Majing coming up with a full cohesive line. So I am curious what the penultimate challenge will be for the designers and how Cornelius will do in that. So he's definitely out of 5. Number 4, I have Robbery. And I put Robbery at number 4 because his performance in this avant-garde challenge, where he simply nearly just replicated what he did in week 1, was so disappointing to me because he runs a little hot and cold. And like we said in the previous podcast, his highs aren't as high as Rick and his lows aren't as low. So he does oscillate more towards the middle. But it concerns me with how he'll do with a full collection. If that's the analysis to get to Fashion Week, can he pass through?
My number 4 is Erin. She seems to be turning things around, finding her voice again.
Yeah.
She definitely closed the gap on my number 3, who is Rick. Rick definitely had a very good look this week.
Mm-hmm.
And he's put together some very solid designs here in the last couple weeks. So I think he's definitely somebody that I think the judges will want to see more from.
I have Erin at number 3. I think that when she's self-aware, she can do fairly well. It's when she goes on these like crazy ostrich feather and,
mm-hmm.
you know, big pocket sort of thing. I'm a little worried at what a full collection would be like from her.
For sure.
You know, is it going to be all like weird volume coats and major colostomy bag pockets? It's hard to say with her. So we'll see. Again, she's another one who has been in the bottom up until these last 2 weeks. For about 5 challenges in a row. So yes, she is peaking again at a good time. It's just like, is she going to fall apart before she gets there?
Yeah.
My number 2 is Rick. I think Rick has the personality and the composure to create a really cool full line. It's again, just making sure that, do you remember the Blacklight challenge look that he created? It's, can he make it through this next challenge without getting too off the path?
Mm-hmm. Robbery is my number 2. I honestly can't believe that you had Robbery so low.
I was really disappointed in him. It's nearly the exact same look. Yeah. Just with metal sheeting and not paper lanterns.
I mean, it's different enough in my mind. He is clearly super talented. And he is somebody that I think when he is not put in the constraints of a challenge, that he will really shine through. So mm-hmm. Fashion Week.
And that's huge. That can be the make or break sometimes. In the lead up to Fashion Week, you get people that really thrived on the parameters who now have to, you know, make for themselves, and that they do great things. Other people just throw everything but the kitchen sink at the look.
Yeah.
So it seems like we both have Laurence at number 1.
True.
And why don't you give your explanation and then I'll give mine.
She hasn't given me any reason to not put Keeper at number 1.
Right.
Every single design she makes week to week looks perfect.
She just makes such beautiful clothing. Like I wish I knew her because I would love for her to design like my wedding dress. I just think that she could do.
Do you want a leather wedding dress though?
No, I don't want a leather wedding dress. I think she could probably. I want a lace wedding dress. I bet she could do beautiful things with lace. And so but regardless, this isn't about wedding dresses. This is about the beautiful clothes that she puts forth. Even when people are disappointed in her, they're like, that's super beautiful. It's super chic. Like, she really cannot mess up. I cannot recall an outfit from her that just horribly missed the mark. And I can think about a couple outfits from everyone else in the competition that truly did.
Yeah.
You know, so she just understands things. And maybe she has some, like, pent-up emotional things to work through since she doesn't like talking about her work or I don't know, whatever. But me and she just turns out beautiful things.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. And I think that is going to be very key for her, assuming she makes it to Fashion Week. Because everything, you know, everything is going to be very well made. You know, everything is going to be cohesive.
Right.
Which is, you know, exactly what the Fashion Week challenge is all about.
Exactly. So it'll be interesting next week. We're either going to lose one or two, and it may come down to just crazy minor things, and who has the best plea to the judges to send them on.
What do you think will happen next week? Give me a bold prediction.
Okay. Oh man, bold prediction. Cornelius doesn't make it through. And the final spot, I really think that Laurence and Robbery are going to do something, because here's what it typically is. Let's say this. Typically, the final challenge is show me your best look that tells me that you should make it to Fashion Week. Show me your best aesthetic. So it's kind of similar to week one, where you're giving the designer, or you're giving the judges who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And so they probably are going to get 2 days and maybe $200. And they're going to have to create, maybe it's a sponsored challenge, you know, maybe there's a small parameter, but it's just going to be show me why you should in one look. And I think that Erin is going to stumble a little bit because she's going to want to throw everything on there.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's going to come down to, I think Cornelius is going to stumble hardcore because he kind of freaks out. And so I don't think he's going to go on. But if they decide between three or four, it could come down to Erin and Rick. Because I think Laurence and Robbery are going to thrive and be like, you know what? I know who I am. Here's what I got for you. Hopefully Laurence doesn't do that strong shoulder because they might rake her over the coals for that. But sometimes Rick has stumbled. Like we said, his lows have been pretty low. And Erin will want to just throw a heavy coat on there and do crazy print and a Big Bird Yellow something.
Yeah.
You know, so can she edit it enough to make them want to see more?
Yeah.
What's your bold prediction? I talked for a long while there. Sorry.
Pretty simple. I don't think Cornelius makes it. And depending on what the challenge is, I think they take four.
You think so?
Yeah.
They've done that in the more recent seasons where they take four, I think because of the popularity of the show and the strength of the sponsorship that they have, New York Fashion Week has given them enough time slots for four people. In the beginning, when this was a new thing, I think they got like the last tent in Lincoln Park and very limited time sort of thing. But now this is like a thing to go see. So who knows? And if anyone out there went to fall New York Fashion Week, they know who it is. They can't really hide that very well, but it seems like it stays under wraps pretty well.
Yeah.
So,
come back next week. We will find out who is heading to New York Fashion Week, and we'll see how they got there.
Right.
So, thanks for listening, and hopefully we see you next week.
Yeah, enjoy the start of the holiday season.
Auf Wiedersehen.